the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, your very familiar passage of scripture, got this wonderful heroes of faith in it. Let's read about one of them. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Never read that scripture. Liberty Singer said, I don't think about you all. And that song you used to sing about Jerusalem. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past 80 age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky in multitude, and as the sand that is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared for them a city. Praise God for the blessings of God. There's a terrible argument going on in the New Testament church. That sounds funny, doesn't it? We want to say that, and we look at the world today and the church today and the church condition of church people today, not necessarily Christians, but church people. Christians and church people are not always the same thing, you know. And the thing of it is, the argument was, what do you have to do to be saved? What do you have to do to be saved? And they all wanted to point back to Abraham. Everybody. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the priests, and the church all pointed back to Abraham. Said, this Abraham's our spiritual father. Abraham's who we came from. And so the question become then, how was Abraham saved or not? How are we saved? Well, they're saying you can't be saved unless. And so you can't be saved unless what? What does it require for salvation? Well, my friend, I'm going to tell you this, and then I'll talk about it a little bit. You're saved because you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You're lost if you don't know him. That's it. You say, well, what about? Well, see, that's what they were saying. They were saying, what about? There was a whole deal going on about circumcision. Unless the men are circumcised and brought into the church through the door of the Jewish religion, you can't be saved, they were saying. Yet the Apostle Paul was careful to point out that Abraham was called and saved and brought out of darkness into the light years before he was ever circumcised. Circumcision did not happen till he was actually a very old man, till his son Ishmael was 13 years old. So time had gone by, a long time before that. But they were saying, unless this happens, you can't be saved. And they were going through all this. Well, Timothy, Paul, you can't bring Timothy in the temple. You can't bring Titus in the temple because they haven't gone through this ritual. They haven't gone through this thing. Sounds a lot like religion in the 21st century, doesn't it? Sounds like that they have their descendants today. And we're saying to everybody, well, you can't, you know, I've gone through this. Gone through this whole thing of spending time in church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or whenever we were having church, looking to see who cut their hair and who didn't have long sleeves and who went to skipped off and went to the moving picture show that week or whatever, you know. And there was this constant thing of going on. Well, this was what they were talking about Abraham. How was Abraham saved? Well, James writes back and says, and Paul writes back, and they say the same thing. Abraham was saved by grace through faith, by the grace of God. And you say, well, what happened to Abraham? Well, let me tell you Abraham's story. He wasn't a Christian to start out with. Well, I don't guess there were any Christians in that day and time, but followers of God. Abraham was not a follower of God to start with. Abraham was raised in Ur. Wouldn't have trouble spelling that down, would you? You are. Abraham was raised in Ur of the Chaldees. He must have known about God. He had to know about God. You say, how did he have to know about God? I'll tell you. Abraham's father and then his grandfather was a fellow named Methuselah. Or maybe his great-grandfather was named Methuselah. What's significant about Methuselah? He was the longest man that ever lived. He lived 969 years. And he went home to be with the Lord in the year of the flood. Think about this. His father's name was Enoch. What's significant about Enoch? We don't know if he died at all. He walked with God and was not. Why? Because God took him. He was one of the two people in the Bible that was translated. So we can't say Abraham didn't know anything about God. The knowledge of God had to be passed down through the generations. But he lived in a heathen society. They worshiped the stars and the moon and the sun and the heavenly bodies over in the Chaldean country, Mesopotamia. They worshiped the heavenly bodies. They saw at night. They were experts at it. They not only were astrologers, but they were astronomers. And they calculated when, and accurately so, when a comet would appear, when things would happen, all kinds of things they could calculate. I'm convinced that from them came the wise men of the East who came to see Jesus when he was born. So Abraham came from a place where they were not worshiping God. He could go down any street in Ur that he wanted to go down, but there was no temple or house of worship to God. He could go anywhere in Ur he wanted to go, and there was nobody having a prayer meeting, nobody having a once a week service, nobody doing anything. There was nothing going on with God in Ur. Abraham was part of that society. He was raised in that society. They worshiped false gods. But my friend, in the midst of everything that was going on, suddenly there was a voice that said, Abram. His name hadn't been changed yet. Abram. And he visited him in a vision, the scripture says. Some way or another, God got through. And you say, well, that's wonderful. Abraham must have really deserved that. Abraham must have really had that revelation coming. How great God was to answer his prayers after all those years. He had prayed and strove and lived good and all that kind of thing. My friend, none of that's the truth that I just said. None of that's the truth. Number one, none of us deserve the grace of God. None of us deserve God's attention to be riveted to us. Fact is, the psalmist says, what is man that God is mindful of him? And says he's mindful that we're dust, we're mindful that we're temporary, mindful that we're struggling and all those things, but we are not in any position to be deserving of the grace of God. God, the great God of the universe, in his sovereign wisdom and majesty and glory, comes down from heaven and saves our soul. My friend, it was not the sheep lost on the hillside that was looking for and found the shepherd, But it was the shepherd who looked for and found the sheep. My friends, Abraham, of all the people on earth, was not a deserving soul, but he was a soul that could have faith. And God spoke to Abraham. I sometimes wish to hear God audibly, you know, not just the spirit within, but how many of you ever fantasize, oh God, if you would just say it just out loud and real clear, God, just let me hear it, God. Please, God, let an angel come here and stand, or Jesus, you come here and stand, be most welcome. And yet he lets us go by faith. I don't know exactly how or what Abraham saw, but God came to Abraham, even though he was in the midst of a heathen society, even though he was not worshiping God, even though he was not seeking God, God was seeking him. And somewhere in the sovereign, glorious majesty of God, God had a plan to draw out one family of all the earth to represent him on the earth, to be priest to the whole earth, and to lead. The whole idea of setting Israel up was not to make Israel some fancy pants genetic group of people that everybody would look up to. The whole idea of setting Israel up and having a temple and all that was to save the world. That's what it was all about, folks. It was to save the world. God drew Abraham out that all the nations of the earth could be blessed by him. They got it all mixed up. They said, we're the big cheese, we're the religious know-hows and know-whats, and everybody else has to come to us and bow down to us. My friend, God never intended that, not for one minute. He intended to evangelize the world and save the souls of the world through Israel. And he chose Abraham of all people on earth. He chose Abraham. My friend, that's an act of the sovereign grace of God. God chose Abraham from among the people. Now, Abraham could have refused the call of God. Abraham could have said, nope, not me. Wonder how many of us have said that the first time God knocked on our door. Wonder how many of us have heard the voice of God or felt the knocking of God on our door and we've refused it. And again and again, I dare say that most people here have had more than one call from God. First time I heard God call me to preach, I was 8 years old, and Sister Effie was preaching, and her question was, who's going to carry this gospel? Who's going to keep this work going on? Who's going to stand up and be counted? And I mean, she could really make it hot on you when she was preaching like that. And she was coming down on it, and I heard this voice beside me say, I know exactly where I was sitting. I was sitting there, Jenny, where May Woods used to sit, Grandma Marshall. Sister Heard, that second seat from the front, in the middle of a group of seats, and I heard this voice say very plainly, you will. And you know what I said? Not me. Not me. Because my people were persecuted and looked down on people. Well, it was me. After all, it was me. And thank God for his mercies, his grace, all that he's done, you know. I'm just grateful to be part of his kingdom. And my prayer now is that ever what time I've got left on this earth and ever what energy I've got left on this earth, Lord, I want it to be profitable for you. I want to be used for his glory, for his benefit. So when I look at this, look at the story of Abraham. I just read you a little blimp of it from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I think if you get there, it's kind of like being nominated for the Oscars and getting honorable mention. You get in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, if your name's in it, it's honorable mention. It's a very wonderful thing. And Abraham was saved, but he was saved not because he did so many good things. He was saved not because he was circumcised, because he was walking with God long before God gave them the ritual of circumcision. God gave them that when he was old, but he had already heard the voice of God and followed God all those years. And you say, oh, that's what I want to do. I want God to appear to me so I can follow him. Would we have the faith of Abraham? You know, you say, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, what, God? What do you want? He said, I want you to get up from among your kin people and out of your father's house, and I want you to go to a land and that I will show you. And you know, laid it right out for him. And so Abraham says, okay, God, which direction to go? He said, well, you just set out and I'll show you where to go. And he says, well, where is the land? What is this land called? What's the name of it? He don't tell him. He don't tell him where he's going. He don't tell him how long it's going to take to get there. Don't tell him what he's going to do when he gets there. He don't tell him anything. Abraham starts out and he travels and he stops. Wonder how many of us have done that on the road. He stops. He traveled away to Haran and he stopped long enough for his father to die and his brother to get settled. He took his nephew and he continued on his journey after God spoke to him again. Say the word with me. Again. God spoke to him again. And he got up out of Haran and he began to travel. And he's traveling the Fertile Crescent. You probably studied that in school, up the Tigris and Euphrates rivers to the mountains of what is now Turkey and down through Israel. That Fertile Crescent's the cradle of civilization. And that's where he traveled. But he don't know where he's going and he keeps traveling south. He gets as far north as he can go and he turns southward and he's going south. And he gets down there on the hill, and all at once God appears to him one night and says, see all this land here? He said, yes, sir. He said, all that land, see, way over yonder, that's Mesopotamia. And away down yonder, that's Egypt. All the land between the two belongs to you. And you're going to have children, so many that it's going to look like the stars of heaven and the sand of the sea. And Abraham's saying, Lord, I don't know how that is. Me and Sarah's getting to be old folks, and we haven't had no babies yet. I don't know how that's going to happen. Well, it did happen, didn't it? Because God said so. And we look at it, and Abraham struggles. He's traveling through it, and as he travels, there comes a famine, and everything dries up. The cattle's dying, the sheep's dying. Abraham's a rich man. I don't know what your picture of Abraham is. You might picture him as a Middle Eastern sheikh in a tent with cattle and sheep and goats and camels and donkeys all around him. If you picture him that way, that's him, but that's not the one that God wants you to look at. You could look at him and he could say he's a very rich dude. He was extremely rich, very powerful dude. Yes, he had so many servants that he could raise enough men of fighting capacity to raise a small army in his own household of several hundred men and go after the enemy. So he is a powerful military man. He's a powerful rich man. He's a powerful influential man. But Abraham is a powerful man of faith. He keeps believing God. And even though he fails, because when he gets south, you know, sometimes God says go and we go. But we just keep going. And this is what Abraham did. He went and he got to the land of Canaan and he's there. But he just keeps going. Well, the famine's on and we're going to starve. And the cattle, is God going to send him there to die? Is God going to send him there to kill him? I don't think so. If God gives us something to do, my friend, he's able to take care of us while we do it. Amen? So he just keeps going to Egypt. He gets in a terrible mess in Egypt, and the Lord has to get him out, and he comes back, and he renews his time with God, and he gets in trouble over the same thing. I don't know if any of you guys have a problem with Abraham or not. Abraham had a terrible problem. You say, what was that? He thought his wife was the most beautiful woman in the world and every other man that saw her would want her. It's the truth. Read it in the Bible. That's exactly what it was. He thought, if I take her down to Egypt, the king of Egypt will kill me just to get her as his widow. And then they ran into another king up there, and he said, same thing. And he had her lie around a little bit and tell stories that she was his sister, not his wife. Well, she was his sister and his wife, but he didn't tell that. Abraham had a terrible time with that. But if you want to see Abraham as a man of faith, then you see him years later when his son is a grown man and he takes him up on the mountain and lays him on an altar of wood and draws out a knife after he's bound his hands to kill him and sacrifice him to God because he heard God say, do that. And he doesn't question God. He's learned that through the years. And you say, how did all this happen to Abraham? It happened because God moved in his life. God moved. Not Abraham moved for God, but God moved for Abraham. My friend, God is, if you hear the knock of God on your door, you are a privileged human being in this world. Do you realize most human beings live and die without knowing Christ as their Savior? Millions of Chinese and Southeast Asian people never heard the gospel because they wouldn't let him go over there and preach it. Millions of people in Africa never heard the gospel because they wouldn't let him come down there and preach it. My friend, you've been so blessed. When I go to pray, so often I pray, God, I thank you for sending me the gospel. And then I say, and for those who brought it to us. My friend, it's important to remember that so much would not have happened had not somebody been a person of faith. Are you one of Abraham's children? Are you willing to walk with Abraham, not knowing where you're going or where you're going to live? Oh, and by the way, God promised him all that land. Guess how much of it he had a deed to? One cemetery plot. He bought a cave and hollowed it out, turned it into a mausoleum. Mausoleum, we'd call it. Turned it into a tomb and had a great stone put at it. That's all he ever owned. That's all he ever had. And yet he would say, all this is mine because God said so. He was a man of faith. In the end, my friend, Abraham was not saved by his works, not saved by circumcision, but he was saved by grace through faith. And my friend, I have to tell you today, if you're saved, you're not saved because of the good things you've done, but you're saved because God's grace has reached out to you and touched your life. Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to share the grace of God. And Lord, as we look at the life of Abraham, I come a-thanking you, Lord. Lord, I come a-thanking you for the grace of God that's been extended to us. I thank you, God, for those who brought us the gospel and those who taught us the gospel. I thank you for every child and every adult and every person that through the years has gone through the doors of these churches in Clendenin and the souls that's been saved. Father, I pray that the Spirit of the living God will touch your people this morning and that this message will go home with them to keep them and bless them, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.